I wanted to get to this. There's a lot of repossessions currently at the moment in this country going through the courts. And I suppose this would be kind of typical story that I wanted to get to. And it says, "Hi, Niall. Myself and my husband bought a house 10 years ago. At the time, my husband had his own business, but since then it's gone to the wall. And he's now working as a delivery driver. We barely make ends meet with three young children, and I work part-time and any hours that I can. We can't afford the mortgage, but we do engage with the bank all of the time because we wanted a home for our kids. Things are fine at, we're fine at first, but when my husband lost his business during the pandemic, we fell behind. But we just can't catch up on all the missed payments. The bank have offered us an interest-only payment, but that is even beyond our affordability at €1,100. The mortgage is over €2,600 a month, and now at rising interest rates, that's even getting worse and completely unaffordable. We'll never be able to afford that again, realistically. We're currently paying €500 a month because that's all we can afford. A few months ago, we got a letter from the bank saying they're starting the process of repossessing our home. I feel like we've let our kids down. This is the only home they've ever known. And now there's a real chance we'll be out on the street. We're trying our best, but it feels like no matter how hard we work, it just isn't enough. I get that the bank have to do a job, but what about families like us? We're not just numbers on a spreadsheet. We've got kids who are going to be torn from their school, their friends, everything they know, as we can never afford a house in this area. And we won't be able to get a mortgage now because we'll have this debt hanging over our head for years. Is it fair that because we hit hard times, the answer is to take our home away? I understand businesses have to be protected and protect their interests, but where's the help for people like us who are genuinely struggling? I'd love to hear what your listeners think. Is repossessing homes just the way it has to be, or should the banks be doing more to help families like us when things get bad? Thanks, Dolores." Now, there's a lot in that, okay? So realistically, they're never going to be able to afford the mortgage and the contract they agreed with the bank. And remember, it is a contract. It is the biggest decision you will ever make in your life. That and getting married are the two biggest decisions you'll ever make. Or by getting divorced is probably just as big a decision at some point as well. But here's the thing. You do sign a contract. You're not stupid. You know what you're getting into. It's 25 or 30 years. The unfair part of it is that nobody in this world can predict what they're going to be doing in 25 or in 5 years, nonetheless, 25 years. Your circumstances can change. And yes, the banks can be flexible. Actually, in fairness to Ireland, you know, because of the ruling by Elizabeth Dunn back in 2012, you know, if you miss, you know, a year's or 2 years payments on a mortgage, the bank don't swoop in and take the house off you. You do get plenty of time. And if you engage with the bank, they will do an interest-only package for you. They will do a reduced payment package. But there's a limit to how low they can reduce that. Because if you're not even paying the interest, well, then the mortgage just keeps increasing all the time because the interest, or because the arrears are increasing all the time and the amount of money you owe keeps increasing. So it kind of becomes pointless. In other words, it's never, ever going to be paid, the debt. The bank will eventually sell your loan to one of the other companies out there who are better at redeeming loans. They'll buy it fairly cheaply off probably the bank, and they'll go after you. They'll send you letter after letter, eventually get you into court. But the ruling by Judge Elizabeth Dunn says that the courts cannot take the home immediately. They must give you 6 months to get your shit together. So from that point, you've then got 6 months. And 6 months to come up with some arrangement with the bank whereby you pay at least the interest only or the full payment. In many cases, it will never be the full payment. You've now got 6 months. In 6 months' time, if you haven't done that, then the court can order the house to be repossessed. So it is a long process. It doesn't happen overnight. So this idea that the banks swoop in like vultures after 2 months and take people's houses off them and throw them out in the street is a bit of a myth. It doesn't happen in Ireland. It happens in other countries like the UK, but it doesn't happen here. So I want to know, I suppose the real question is, when it comes down to it, and you're in a situation like this poor family who will never be able to afford their home. Obviously, the house they bought at the time was a nice house in a nice area because he had a good job and a good business. But that went tits up. I mean, the fact that they're paying, or their mortgage is €2,600 and rising with interest rates, means it was a mortgage of probably about €450,000-€500,000. So realistically, it's a big mortgage. But many people are in that situation. During the Celtic Tiger, many people bought houses they couldn't afford. They really couldn't afford. And banks loaned money to people they knew they couldn't pay back. But are repossessions a necessary evil? That's the question today. At some point, does a house have to be repossessed? Or do you think banks should just write off some of these debts? Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, is 085 100 2255. That's 085 100 2255. Let me go to Peter Dooley from the Dublin Renters Union and a good friend of the show. Peter, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Noel.
Good afternoon, Peter. I suppose the first thing I should really ask you, because you ran for local election, will you be running for the general election? People would be interested in your locality to know if you're running or not.
Ah, well, you know, it's yet to be decided upon, but it's pretty difficult when you're running as an independent candidate as well. You're up against those big, powerful machines.
I know that.
Propaganda, Noel, we all
been
know
there. Been there, bought that, bought the T-shirt, yeah. I know what that's all about. Well, look, good luck to you if you are running in the local election. I know you've done pretty well in the local elections. Unfortunately, you didn't get the seat, but you did very, very well, and you should be very proud of yourself. Peter, in relation to this particular story, it's a common story around the country at the moment. There are thousands of people in distress mortgages with arrears of more than a year, more than 2 years, who just cannot meet the payments. So what happens eventually?
Well, you know, I think you take it back to basics. You made in your intro there, you were talking about bankers. If you hark back to the days of the bailout, like where, you know, the huge majority of the bank of debt of Europe was foisted upon the people. So they basically socialised the losses, but they never socialised the profits. And it's not interesting because now we're looking at record profits for all the bankers in Ireland. AIB, the first half yearly profits were €1.3 billion. And the Bank of Ireland were €1.1 billion. Absolutely record profits on the back of record interest rates. And then on top of that, we have a multitude of crises, the cost of living disaster facing more and more people. People are losing their jobs. Businesses are closing down at the fallout of what happened over the last couple of years. And nobody wants to talk about the COVID lockdowns. And a lot of people are struggling to keep pace with what's going on in terms of the spiral cost of living. And this is another facet of it that's going to come down the tracks of people. And I know they've moved around issues like in the private rented sector. You get evicted at a faster rate, and the people that I'm supporting most days are in that situation where they're facing homelessness in the face. And you know, the same with, for instance, people who are facing repossessions through bankers, you know, extortionate interest rates, extortionate profits as well. And on the back of it, it's the other side of it, the people who are facing the daily living reality of affording to live.
But there isn't an argument, Peter, that, and, you know, the banks in this country, obviously because the ruling by Elizabeth Dunn, you know, are more cautious than they would be in other countries. They don't just swoop in after 2 months and take your house off you. They will work with you if you engage with them, right? But it does get to a point sometimes where it becomes unsustainable, right? But is it fair to say that whether you like the banks or hate the banks, you made an agreement with them? If I made an agreement with you tomorrow and you said, here's a loan of 100 quid now because you're stuck, okay, Peter, I'll give it back to you. I'll throw you a tenner a week for the next 10 weeks. And I didn't give it back to you, you'd be pissed off because that's your money, isn't it? So isn't that the argument that we're not stupid? We know what we're signing up to. You know what I mean?
But we don't. The thing is, you don't want a mortgage because the issue is with mortgages. The facet is this 30-year mortgage has only come into play in the last probably 20 to 30 years. And there's so many providers are making money from the mortgage industry. There's mortgage service providers, there's mortgage brokers, there's pension funds. There's so many people are making huge amounts of money, which is going to cost. Who's going to pay for it? It's ordinary people who are going to be basically slaves to debt in perpetuity, essentially. And that's the way they want it. They want people to be stuck paying sky high mortgage rates, mortgage payments for years and years, and then at the sharpest end, the threat of homelessness is there for people. So if you don't abide by the rules that we're pushing on you to push more income inequality, push more profits for the big bankers, what happens? Then essentially they're going to turn around and say, well, you know, you're out the door, you're going to be kicked out of the streets. And like, it's 2024 in Ireland. It's not 1854 in Ireland. Back over 150, 170 years ago, there was over 500,000 Irish people were kicked out from their homes because of various laws brought in by the British at that period, the poor law tax and all these other
I mean, that's dreadful. And we've seen the old photographs.
It's very hard to the heart of being Irish, I think. You know what I mean?
Peter, it kills me. It kills me to see a family lose their home, particularly when they just literally cannot afford it. I mean, in their case, the bank have offered them 1,100 quid interest only. They can't afford that. And they're paying 500 quid a month, right? Okay, they're making an attempt to pay something. That's all they can literally afford. Yeah. And I know for a lot of families out there, the decision, do we turn on the heating or pay the mortgage? You know what I mean? And that is a genuine decision. Do we feed the kids or pay the mortgage? And we all know what comes first. So there's a genuine decision being made by families out there who literally just can't afford it because the cost of energy has doubled, the cost of food has doubled, the cost of everything has doubled over the last 10 years, but sadly wages haven't gone up to match it. So I see that and I understand that. But ultimately, you're still in a contract with a business. If you buy a car through HP, or, well, it's not called HP anymore, it's called PCP these days, which is another rip-off, by the way. Anyway, if you buy a car through PCP, you don't pay the payments, they come and take the car back. It's not your car.
I understand, I fully appreciate that and understand that. There are processes there, for instance, there's a mortgage arrears resolution process that was brought in that a lot of people are engaging with their bankers. There's a mortgage to rent scheme through local authorities that should be pushed more, as far as I'm concerned, because there are limits on terms of people's incomes and not accessing that scheme. And it's about communicating, and all those issues are important as well in terms of if people are communicating, not just burying their heads in the sand when it comes to it, but if they're making a genuine effort, it's incumbent, essentially, it should be incumbent on you know, the state to step in at some point to say this is wrong. It's morally incomprehensible how they're making huge amounts of profits.
If they're doing something illegal, I mean, look, I mentioned Elizabeth Dunn. The state stepped in where Elizabeth Dunn stepped in and said you can't just take people's houses off them like that in 3 months. You know what I mean? So the state did step in at some point.
Well, at some point, but if you look at the bigger, greater system, if you look at the financial services sector in Ireland, if you look at across the world as well, at the global system, you look at the system with the political system in Ireland as well, they're basically one and the same. Like, you know, if you look at the weekend, I don't know if you noticed that David Drum, the famous banker that was jailed for over 7.2 billion euro fraud that was foisted upon the people of Ireland through the Anglo-Irish shady dealings many years ago. He spent half his time in jail, half his 6 year sentence in jail. He's come out and he's bought a 2 million euro mansion now in Malahide. So, like, you know, if you think about justice, like, where is the justice for people who have been were impacted by all those policies of those bankers, you know, flying around the world on a 5-star holidays and vacations and stuff, and well, ordinary people are the ones that are struggling, and they're saying, "Well, we're engaging. We will have to take this off you if you're not, you know, holding up to your side of the bargain." And this comes back to the profits they're making. If you look at the huge profits that these bankers are making, AOD, as I mentioned at the outset, and Bank of Ireland as well, there has to be incumbent attention in the state to make a more forceful role in terms of looking at those bankers, looking at the profits they're making, looking at the interest rates they're charging, and engaging with people. Because the basic premise of a society is that, I always argue, Noel, and you know I've always spoke to you about it, is having a home as a social good. If you start at a foundation point as a home as a social good, then you could build a proper society and a functioning economy that people can flourish and benefit and have a dignified existence. Because otherwise you're just going down a rabbit hole of, like, you know, paying more and more and more, and more people being crucified. You know, you see the mental health scandals, you see the terrorism, the inhumanity of people being forced into homelessness. You have to really uncover who the political class in Ireland represents. They represent the very rich, they represent the bankers, they represent the financial elites and the corporate interests. They don't represent the interests of people. And it's only when people stand up against them, I think, is when the effect, the change that people fundamentally want. And that happens in our history.
Okay, well, hang on a second. Let me just bring a few more callers into this. And Steve, you're kind of getting a bit angry, all right? But Steve, I'm at the reading out this email, and, you know, there with the grace of God go I, as the people say, you could end up in the same situation, Steve, yourself at some point, where you can't. I don't know whether you're renting or whether you've got a mortgage.
No, I own my own house. I own my own house.
Oh, look, great for bully for you, right? But here's the thing. Yeah, but are you paying a mortgage payment, or do you own it outright?
No, I told you before, my grandmother died, left me some money, and I bought a house.
Well, isn't that great? You know, fair play. But in saying that, you were put in a very lucky position, and everybody has that. You know what I mean? That a situation like that, you could have ended up with a mortgage that maybe at some point you couldn't pay because you didn't have the money. So, I mean, that's just what happens sometimes. And do you not think that a bank, when they loan people money, and yes, you've signed a contract, Steve, I agree with that before you say it, but there's also a moral contract, isn't there?
Well, Niall, here's the thing. When we start loosening the noose, and that's what I think that Peter is suggesting, we start loosening the noose, it's going to have a knock-on effect with the banks, and the banks will be less likely to loan people money based on that. And you can't say that that's not something that would happen, because of course it is what would happen. People are seen as a higher risk, so they're not going to let out money. I was only talking to somebody there recently who said, oh my God, if, you know, they should never be able to repossess a house until the kids are out of the house. So in other words, you have to wait 18 years. That's a ridiculous notion. It is a business, and that's what we must see it as, because they're there to loan money to people. on a business basis. And if you cannot pay your mortgage, sure, there should be education around it. Sure, the banking system is broke. Sure, the politicians are all corrupt. Right, we get all of that. But at the end of the day, you signed on that dotted line.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's not like buying a car. Buying a car is a 3-year loan or a 5-year loan, right? You pretty much have a fair idea you're going to have your job in 3 or 5 years, most likely, right? When you're signing up for a mortgage, it's 25 or 30 years. You've no idea what you'll be doing in 30 years' time. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely not.
So, I mean, so it's really unfair to try and ask somebody to predict what you know, how good their job is going to be. You know what I mean?
Niall, it's unfair to go into a contract. You were aware of all the details of the contract. You were aware. I mean, I'm pretty sure that most people, when they're getting a mortgage, think, well, what happens if I can't pay my mortgage? A lot of people are going to think that. So that's not unfair. It's not an unfair system, Niall. The banks are offering money. And without the banks offering loans, this country would be on its arse. It would be screwed.
But here's the thing. But if the bank puts this couple out and their children out on the street, then who's picking up the tab? The taxpayer. Because somebody's going to give them a social house.
28 houses repossessed in 2023. It's not an epidemic.
I'm not suggesting it is an epidemic, but what I'm saying to you is there's over 70,000 houses or homes in arrears, in serious arrears in the country.
Absolutely. And Niall, I understand that, and it's a sign of the times. That's what that is. But these people must persevere and struggle through. Now, they have no other choice. Look, at the end of the day, if you do not pay your mortgage, it can take anywhere from 18 months to several years for the banks to repossess that home. And if you cannot find alternative accommodation within 18 months or several years, well, I'm sorry, but that's on you. That's your problem. You know, and here's what people say about the banks piss me off. Oh, we bailed out the banks, but we won't bail out society. Of course we bailed out the goddamn banks, because if we didn't, we wouldn't have banks and society would have crashed.
Sorry, Peter, you can respond to that. Mind you, they didn't bail them out in Iceland, but then again, it's a much smaller population, different system. Peter, I mean, Steve makes a point. It is 18 months to 3 or 4 years before a bank will even get you into a courtroom, which is quite unusual, by the way, around the world. Ireland is quite unique in that situation. So people do have plenty of time. And Steve is saying, well, if you can't find alternative accommodation or come up with some plan, you know, to pay back the mortgage, well, then what? There's nothing else that can be done for you.
Well, I understand. Obviously, people should engage and communicate as well. It's important to make people aware if you're any financial problems and you're finding it hard to make any repayments. And that's obviously appropriate for anybody to do. But I think the bigger point is, to counter what Steve was saying about the bankers being bailed out, there was different options there available which weren't pursued by the Irish government at the time. But of course, they went down for the
what were the options? To let the banks collapse. That wasn't an option.
The options were, they always had the famous one, too big to fail, but the options were to move in, which they did, nationalise them to a massive extent. But then they looked after the big developers, the bankers again.
They wanted to pay off the bondholders.
We don't rehash the whole argument about NAMA and the whole corruption through NAMA and all the rest of the stuff that went on with Johnny Ronan and the whole lot for years and years. Like, when's Ireland going to wake up to really what's going on? When's Ireland going to wake up to have a proper banking system that should really serve the people? If you look back to a banking system... The whole idea of a banking system previously was to loan money, you have a contract with the bank. Now you have mortgage brokers. Now you have different financial companies.
Pension companies, all sorts of things,
pension funds as well.
Nobody's twisting their arms.
And then you're looking, hang on a second, what options do you have? People are looking to get security. They've no security in the
shop
private
around.
Sector.
Shop around. Peter, none of what you're saying makes a blind bit of difference. A bank has a legal right to repossess a home if they do not pay the mortgage. You know that, and I know that. End of conversation.
Not the end of the conversation, Steve. We're not. I mentioned the car earlier on there. This is not, you know, a Ford Mondeo or whatever it is. This is somebody's home that they live in. So there's a bit of a moral obligation of the bank to play ball or to do something to help people.
No. Hold on a second, Niall. A bank or business does not have a moral obligation to the individual. Whatever's in the contract is what they abide by. I'm going to say it again. If banks started to act more morally, they will go out of business. No, it's very simple. Let me ask you a question.
Look how much money they're making, Steve.
Let me ask you a question. I'm asking Niall a question. No, I'm going to ask Niall a question. You're the bank of Niall. And Steve comes up to you and says, Niall, can I borrow a few quid? I want to buy a house. And you say, sure, no problem at all. Here's 200,000, whatever the money may be. And then I don't pay that money. And I'm an asshole about it. And then somebody else comes along and says, Niall, can I have a few quid for a house? Are you more likely to give them money now that you have experience with people that are not going to pay? And the law somehow...
But what you're suggesting is there are many people who are strategically not paying.
Absolutely. And you think that's not happening?
No, hold on. I assume that is happening, but the majority of people who can't pay genuinely can't pay.
Does it make a difference? They're still in the same boat.
Well, it does. I think it does make a difference.
No, it doesn't, Niall. It doesn't. If you lose your job, or there's just some arsehole who's strategically not paying, they're both not paying. End result, you don't pay your mortgage, kick you out. Very simple. It's not your property.
When you say very simple, that's easy to say when you've got a wife and a husband and three young children to kick them out. So what happens then, Steve, right? You were whining the other day about taxpayers and how much they have to pay out, et cetera, et cetera. So they get kicked out in the street. They go to the Department of Social Protection. They're looking for HAP. They're looking for social housing. Whose pocket is that coming out of at the end of the day? The government, anyway. It's coming out of the taxpayer's pocket. So they have to live somewhere.
Hold on, Niall. If people are really in financial strife and they're having difficulties, the government should step in. But our government is broken. Our banking system is broken. All of these things are correct. But at the end, there's no getting away from this. There's no escaping it. If you owe money, it is not your property until that mortgage is fully paid. So if you don't pay it, I'm sorry, but out you go.
See, Peter, Steve is looking at this from a black and white point of view. Just black and white. That's it. And I know a lot of people do, Peter, look at it from a black and white point of view.
No, I understand his point, but I don't agree with it. The point is, like, you're not looking at the bigger picture of the banking system. Like, you know, if you could look at systems, for instance, years ago, where even they looked at community banks, credit unions, there was different movements in Ireland that tried to get these movements set up where people could loan affordably into the community and pay back at rates they can afford to pay back if they were to buy anywhere. And this has gone out the window in Ireland because it's wide open to all the financial international system. We see, you talk about shopping around. He made the comment about shopping around. You can't shop around in a cartel-run operation. And that's what the Irish government is in control of. You look at Brian Hayes, ex-Fine Gael. Where has he gone to work with? The head of the Banking Federation in Ireland. You look at all these guys, Michael Darcy, Senators Fine Gael and stuff, they're one and the same. They're all erring, essentially, in the political class, are one and the same with the banking cartel operation. It's essentially a criminal class in operation in Ireland. And people are afraid to call them out, and they're trying to blame, well, who cares if they end up in homeless? Who cares? Let them kick out. This is the contract you have.
Peter, did you miss what I said?
It's a home.
The system is broke and the banking system is broke. I've said that.
Okay, well, stay there both of you a second, because I want to bring some other callers. Stay there, Edward, which is a second. Julie, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, I'm good. I'm actually listening there, and I'm looking at it from a rainbow point of view. There's kids being out on the streets. Are you for real? I don't give a damn. I pay tax, and I'd be happy enough for them to go into a safe environment. I wouldn't give a shit. Like, sorry, excuse the French, but, like, at the end of the day, that was their home. Their home has been taken from underneath them, and I don't care about their circumstances once they've had at least one job.
Theirs.
I don't care if it was in McDonald's. I'd be willing to help them out.
It's not theirs. You're saying it's their home. It's not theirs. It's somebody else's.
Sorry, it was their home. It was their home. It was their home when they signed the bloody form. All right, who was it then?
Well, let's not pander over words. You were right, Julie. It was their home, but it was never their house. If you talk about
it
physical
sense.
Hang on. No. To be fair, Julie, you don't own the house or the home until you pay the last payment.
I'm well aware of the circumstances surrounding a repossessed house. It makes sense. But at the end of the day, it doesn't make sense to leave them on the street.
Well, what's saying leave them on the
streets? Keep walking around on the street.
Hold on, Julie. Where's that suggestion of leave them on the streets? Who said that in this conversation?
All right, well, what are you going to do? Put them into a hotel full of people? Like,
no, hold on a second. They can find a house to rent.
I'll say it.
Within the 18 months to several years.
Where are they going to find a house to rent? You know, in Dublin, for example. Where are they going to find for 500 quid a week?
I'll say it slowly so you can understand. 18 months to several years it takes to repossess a house. If you cannot find a house within 18 months to several years,
yeah,
then there's something really wrong with you.
Oh, really?
Come in there for a minute, just to back up Julie's point there. Julie is 100% correct. It's her home. Like, when have we lost sight of what a home is in society? Do we see everything being commodified and everything has a value?
Oh,
and making money for
Can I get a word in? Because there's three talks here going on, and I just want to make a little point before I go. It's disgraceful if you think it's okay to take a child's home away from them. I don't give a damn about circumstances. Leave them in their home and work
out
a plan.
People can get away with anything as long as they have
kids. Government on other people's crap.
People can get away with anything and get a free house as long as they have kids. That's exactly what that woman is saying.
Listen. Can I come in there?
Yeah, Peter, go ahead.
Noel,
yeah, Julie's
free
gone.
House.
Yeah.
What is this absolute nonsense about free houses? Like, I'm just actually sick to be back and see people talking about.
Well, what's the alternative?
Nobody ever gets a free house.
I don't agree with that statement, and I've said this to you before. People, there are people in this country get a free house.
What free house?
Okay.
Who gets a free house, Noel?
Okay, you're long-term unemployed. Or you're living on welfare and you get a house in the state, social house, at, say, 30 quid a week rent, right? You're not paying that 30 quid. You're getting it from the Department of Social Protection, so you're being handed it once a week for free. It's taxpayers' money. So the point is, you've never actually worked for one single brick in that house. So technically it is a free house.
This is the narrative that comes out about free house.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. If you want to fight over words,
people don't work, or people are this, or people
are
that.
There are, but Peter, I know me and you don't agree with that. There are. I mean, don't get me wrong. Everybody, most people try their hardest, but there are people who play the system and they're good.
A very small percentage of people that do it. Very small. But this whole narrative to try and throw them all. This is what works in Ireland. Dividing rules, avoiding people.
That's what it
blame
is.
Somebody else.
Peter,
they can't.
Peter, let me ask you a question.
House. What you decide to do is you keep paying and forcing yourself into misery, complete abject poverty, and then fundamentally, what happens?
Well, for fuck's sake, nobody forced them to do that. Peter, let me ask you a question. What is the alternative? Let's say you have a family, they're refusing to pay the mortgage, they have young kids. What is your alternative? Just leave them in the house? Let them have it?
Nobody said that about refusing to pay. If people are engaging with them, if somebody's actually...
Even if they can't pay, that doesn't take away. So refusing to pay or can't pay is the exact same bleeding thing. There's no money being handed over. Does that make it easier?
Refusing is a total difference.
Let's stick with not being able to pay, right? Forget about the refusing, right? So like in the email... The minimum payment the bank will accept is 1,100 quid, which is interest only. But the family are only handing over 500 because that's all they can afford. That's now unsustainable, right? It's what they call an unsustainable mortgage. So what happens, Peter? What's the next step? Just leave them there?
What really should happen is the state should step in. And state should step in and say, well, look at the overall picture. Look at the banking scheme. Look at the profits they're making. Look at the interest rates that are being charged on somebody. Look at the affordability of it. And then look at stepping in to actually say they have to be...
But the interest rates, okay.
Children are involved in it.
The interest rates are starting to come back down again. But here's the thing, right? But the interest rates, hold on. You know the interest rates when you sign the mortgage. You know what they are.
Interest rates go up.
Thankfully, over the last 20 years, they haven't gone up much.
They're one of the highest in Europe, Noel. Hmm. Noel, if you look at like a 300,000 euro mortgage,
Peter, I bought a house. I bought my first house back in 1991. In 1996, I think it was, the interest rates went to 16%. You might remember that, by the way.
It's front loaded now with the interest payments. Okay. And as I said earlier, like there's so many other people involved in this. You have many commentators on from Irish mortgage brokers.
Peter, given your hypothetical there.
Just very quickly, I need to go to Edward there, Steve. Go on.
Yeah, please, because he's still not answering my question, right? So you're saying that the government should step in. Let's say nobody steps in. Then what happens?
What's your point about nobody steps in? There is a government. People do elect the government.
Peter, with the fucking hypothetical. For Jesus' sake, you know what the answer is. The bank just takes the house back.
Stay there for a second. Let me just go to Edward. Edward, hi, how are you?
Hang on, lads.
Edward, go ahead.
It's a horrible situation to be in. There's a difference between not paying and not being able to pay. There is a difference. People get sick, with maybe with cancer or those things, who fall into hard times. They can't pay their mortgage. It's not that they don't want to pay. They love to be out working, but they're crippled because they have a bad leg or whatever. But the real fact of the matter is, it's our government that is doing this to all of us. Their job is to keep us in as much debt as we possibly can be in. You go back to 2009 when Enda Kenny and all those big doofuses stood up at the podium going, the housing crisis in Ireland got so out of hand and the price of everything. We must never let this happen again. So what's after happening, lads? We're all in debt, up to massive, massive debt. Angela Merkel came to Ireland and she goes, 9 to 9, what do you mean? They own their own homes. Oh, no, no, no. And ever since then, our country has changed dramatically in the way we own our homes. The government turned a blind eye while vulture funds bought all the properties up to do what Angela Merkel wanted to do, to rent them. And those who are falling behind in the mortgage should be helped. Those who don't want to pay the mortgage should be fired out in the rest, because you're giving the rest of us who are trying a very bad name.
So you're saying that people should have their houses repossessed if they don't pay?
If you're there's a rule, okay? If you can't pay.
Okay, Edward, stick to the one I spoke about, which is the email we got in. Okay, yeah. I don't know whether you heard the email. So the bank have asked for minimum payment, interest only, €1,100. They can't afford it. He lost his business a few years ago. They bought the house 10 years ago. It was probably, by the way, judging by the amount of the mortgage, which is 2,600, the house is probably about 450, 500,000, right? Okay. So here's the thing. They can only afford 500 quid a month. The bank is saying, sorry, not good enough. You have to go.
Now, all of you that are listening, how many of you have fallen on hard times?
We've all fallen. Well, I have.
Okay. You remember what it was like not to have that 1,100 quid.
Yeah.
Do any of you remember what it was like to not have that money and stay up at night time because you didn't have the money? You worried so much because you were more afraid of losing your home.
Edward, do you understand the question that was asked today?
Yeah, I do understand the question that was asked.
So what was the question that was asked today?
No, you see, you're a type of person who has no scruples whatsoever. Because I'm listening.
No, hold on a second. Stick
even
to
if
the
you
question.
Pay your mortgage,
focus. Focus for a second.
Own your home.
Edward, grow up. Focus for a second. So is it a necessary evil? Is repossessing a house a necessary evil? It's a yes or a no, because the whole thing of can't pay or won't pay. Edward, let me finish.
Hang on, both of you, just one at a time.
Would leave us all with our foot in our heads, grounded, while you survived. You
mother
don't care
of God.
All you care about is right and wrong. Well, there is a difference in right and wrong.
Edward, Jesus Christ, if you close your mouth for 2 seconds and you'd understand where I'm coming from. Hold on a second.
I can only hear one person at a time talking. Steve, finish what you want to say to my let Edward respond to you.
Thank you. So the whole thing of can't pay or won't pay, okay, maybe there's a moral difference in between the two different types of people, but from the bank's perspective, it makes no difference because the bank isn't getting the money that they need for the house that is not there.
Okay, well, let me ask Edward that. Edward, in the case of somebody whose job and their financial circumstances have changed, whereby they can only now pay 500 quid of a €2,600 mortgage, right, because their circumstances have changed, at what point do the bank say, look, we have to take the house back? Or do they ever say that?
When they haven't paid a shilling for a couple of years. But are they paying money?
500 quid a month.
Okay, so then again, let's not be greedy about throwing everyone out of the house because it's not your house and you can't pay the bill. If the people are...
Oh, we've lost him. Are you there, Edward?
You should have paid his phone bill.
Edward, are you there? Sorry. Unfortunately, we've lost Edward's phone there. He seems to be out of coverage. Anyway, let me go to Dave. Dave, hi, how are you doing? Stay with me, Peter and Steve.
What's the crack,
Dave? Sorry, we lost Edward there. I don't know. Anyway, Dave, at what point, I suppose Steve is asking, it doesn't matter whether you can pay or won't pay, it's not being paid. That's a simple fact. You're breaking the contract. So the bank step in at some point.
Yeah, well, look, I think, like, to be fair, if you're not paying your rent or your mortgage or whatever, you're just like, yo, fuck you, I'm not paying it.
Yeah, obviously an eviction there. I mean, look, fine, they want 1,100 euros. They could pay 500 euros. Could they not just accept the 500 euros for, say, give them 2 or 3 years to try and get back on their feet to then start paying the mortgage back properly? Do you know, like, it's fucking, and, you know, I'm probably going to get ripped apart for saying this, but, like, fuck the banks. Like, AIB alone last year made profits after tax of 2 billion euros.
Peter was telling us about that, yeah.
With a B.
Oh, yeah, they made record profits last year, yeah.
These are the same institutions that fucking banjacks the world's economy, led this country into years of austerity, and people more likely took their lives because of the fuck-uppery of the banks. And not a single one of them ever spent a day in jail. You know,
everybody says that, but that's completely untrue, by the way. Because bankers, right. There was 3 of them went to jail. I remember going back about 7 years ago. Yeah.
Wow. Now,
they weren't long sentences, I grant you that. But 3.
Were they not?
Yeah, but I think 3 of them did go to jail. Anglo-Irish, wasn't it?
No,
it was, yeah.
No, they didn't go to jail. They got community service.
No, they went to jail.
Is what they got.
I think two or three of them went to jail.
I remember reading. So they were basically the sacrificial fucking lands for the rest of the
country. Yeah, probably. Some of them after Anglo-Irish closed down, some of them even got a bonus. But there you go. That's a whole other argument. Yeah,
there we go. I mean, look, to be fair, like, it's a different story if, like, they're not paying their mortgage and they're, like, up yours. Do you know what I mean? But they're paying. They're trying to pay. They're willing to pay. The guy's, you know, business went under. You know, give them a fucking break. I mean, they're still getting some bit of money at the end of the day. You know, we'll give you 2 years. We'll give you 3 years. But they do.
Here's the thing with the banks in Ireland, to be fair. There is no bank. Steve is right. I'm sure Peter will agree. There is no bank is going to move in on a family after a year and a half and take their house off them. It doesn't happen.
No, I know. And for a bank to actually evict people, it's a long,
long process.
Drawn out, protracted process.
There's a million offers made. There's a million opportunities. They give you what's called a PIP, which is personal something, insolvency payments person or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
They give you loads of. They put you onto MABS. There's loads of options. Yeah, you know what I mean?
No, I know. I mean, and look, there's also options out there for a lot of people. Now, maybe not for €500,000 house, but I know people who they fell on hard times with their mortgage, and the council
will buy the house. The house. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, and they let them live in it, and you know, they paid rent in. Well, obviously, it was lower than a mortgage, but they did as well. You know what I mean? Like, how long is this going on for this family?
But do you know what? Do you know what pisses me off, Niall?
Exactly how long?
Do you know what pisses me off about this type of stuff?
Yeah.
That people will come along and they will say, oh, look at the banks, they've made billions, so fuck them. That's not an excuse. Just because somebody made billions of euros doesn't mean you don't have to pay your bills.
I'm not saying the banks made billions, so fuck them.
I think you're missing a bigger point here. The point is that who propped them up and who bailed them out? As they made the point about the austerity as well. Who bailed them out? And the point they made is
if we didn't bail them out, we would have had no banks.
Socialism works for the wealthy only in Ireland. That's the way they work it. Socialism for the wealthy. And everybody else can go.
Peter, with the greatest respect, you're a socialist.
A system that should be set up to. That actually should serve the people, not a banking system that serves the coffers of people like David Drum and all those high flying pals who are being facilitated. Like, the cover should be pulled away from, the rug should be pulled from. The politicians at all there and who they represent. They represent the financial services industry, the bankers, and that's what they want to always represent. So listen, people will always argue about this and that, or, you know, they should pay this, people should pay that, people should get a better job, people should, you know, push themselves onto the breadline to keep paying their pay their bills, otherwise the house is pulled off them. This is the same stuff will continue until the next generation, unless people stand up and really know what the banking system, what it's there to represent. It's not there to represent the...
Okay, but hang on. Before I go to my next caller, Dave, I just want to ask you a question. So I'm not talking about somebody who's refusing to pay, right? I'm talking about somebody who just can't, right? And, you know, in this particular email, the minimum payment the bank will accept is 1,100 quid, which is interest only, which is what most banks will say to you. They'll only accept interest only. They will accept a lower amount for a short period of time if you're going through a tough time, right? But all they can pay is 500 quid based on the current financial circumstance. So at what point, Dave... do the bank say, I'm sorry, you and your 3 kids, your family, your 2 of you and the 3 kids, I'm sorry, you just have to get out? Or does that ever happen?
Look, if it's going on for years and years and years and it looks like there's, you know, there's no light at the end of the tunnel for them and the bank have to evict them, fair enough. What I would like to see is particularly, like, if you're a taxpayer, right, you've been a taxpayer for a long time, particularly if this guy's been self-employed. I mean, he's probably been paying a lot more tax than the rest of us. What I would like to see is the state step in, and whatever that they're missing, the state props them up, gives them that money until he gets back on his feet, and then they can, I don't know, rejigger his tax credits or get it back off him at a later stage. I'd much prefer to see a bit more.
So then essentially what we're doing is going to put him into more debt. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying,
so we're
going to
loan him the money.
The state will loan him
the money and put him into more debt.
But listen, it's up to himself in the end, okay? What I'm saying is have an option there and just say, listen, this is the crack. This is what we can do. It might be a bit of a gamble for you, but at the end of the day, you make up your mind yourself. It keeps the family in a home. It keeps them out of homeless services, which are already fucking stretched as it is. They probably can't find a place to rent. If they can't afford, like, you know, 1,100 euros on a mortgage every month, they're not going to find, money for 2 fucking grand a month rent either. Or give them an option to help them downsize or something. At least give them an option. Give them a bit of help.
Okay, before I come to Donna, Steve, is that not an option? The state steps in and says, right, you know, 500 quid a month is not, you know, cutting the mustard. You need 1,100. We'll pay, pays the 600, but takes ownership of part of the house.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. That's a great idea, Niall. But as I said from the very start of all this, the banking system is broke and the government is broken. You know, but that still doesn't take away from the fact of the main question here, which is it a necessary evil? And the answer is yes. And the likes of Peter Dooley, that man.
The likes of Peter Dooley pisses me off
to no end, that man. And I tell you why, Niall.
I'm glad, Steve, because you know what?
Fantastic. You tell you one thing, you'd never get my vote.
I don't think he wants your vote.
You know what, Steve? I'll stand up for the interests of ordinary people who are struggling.
No. Here's the thing, Bill. You're so bloody transparent, and they're in the all right.
I'm all right, Jack Brigade. And they don't really...
Let me finish what I was saying.
By the way, I'll come back to the two of you arguing in a second. Peter and Steve, just stay there. Let me just go to Donna. Donna, hi, how are you?
Oh, Niall, what a privilege to talk to you. I listen to you all the time.
Oh, thanks very much, Donna.
You saved my life.
I saved your life. Oh, God, that's good to know.
You actually did. And I did both of you, but I'm kind of happy that you didn't get in because I think your platform... hearing about your podcast and your radio show is more important. Yeah, big time.
Okay.
So I have 2 points, and I won't have your time, I promise. I listen to Steve, and he contributes to other kind of listener shows as well. The reason why so many banks have exited the Irish market is because it's so hard to repossess a house here, right? So that's why our interest rates are so high, and that's why it's so hard to repossess a house. But anecdotally speaking, like, I got my first mortgage as a single woman on a shit salary. Someone pressed the wrong button in the bank, put it that way.
Right.
At 22. By 30, I missed one mortgage repayment. I've been going through my job for, I won't go into a story for another day, and I hate being in debt. So I put my house in the market, and the person in the bank, who I won't mention because I don't know if defamation or whatever, but obviously forgot to press the right button. So they were constantly going in to get my mortgage repayments while my house was on sale. So my credit rating is meh.
Yeah.
I couldn't even open a current account.
That's what happens, unfortunately, if you go into any kind of arrears, isn't it, in a mortgage? Your credit rating is doomed for 5 years, yeah.
Big time, but yeah. Niall, I was one of these who I just hate, like, if I asked
so did you have to sell? Or, did you sell the house in the end, or the apartment?
No! Like, as soon as I missed one repayment, I sold it.
Oh, okay.
I put it on the market, and I was lucky enough to be in. Oh, very good. No, but I ended up in the streets for 6 years.
Wow!
Like, I literally ended up north inner city Dublin in hostels and on the streets.
So what do you do now?
Thankfully, now I'm kind of getting back my feet. Believe it or not, I had. Like, level 9 degree, and I'm back in, I'm back studying again.
Okay, that's good. Okay, but Donna, just to get back, if I could just get back to the email, and I'm glad to hear, by the way, things are better for you now. But just to get back to the email in relation to this family, is there a point where the banks should turn around and say, I'm sorry, you have to get out? Or should they just leave them there in the hope that someday they can afford it?
No, you know, when you, if you end up in financial ruin, it's a 30-page document of the financial statement thing, right?
Yeah.
And they do address, and like, they should be more engaged.
Well, they have, I'm assuming they filled out a financial statement that means already for the bank. An FST as they call it, I think it is called. And they, the bank have said they want 1,100 quid a month off them, but they can't afford that. They can only afford 500. So here's the thing. That's not even going to pay the interest. It's not, you know, keeping the contract with the bank. So at what point did the bank step in and take the house back? Do they ever step in and take
it? Oh, big time. That's why, as I said, so many banks have left the Irish system. Like, I was an underwriter and I know so many insurance companies.
This is true. And I know many of them did leave the system. Thank you for that, Donna, and I appreciate you coming on the show, and I hope things continue to look up for you. Peter, she does make a fair point in relation to banks. Many of the banks won't come into the Irish market, many of the international banks, because they know how difficult it is to repossess. It's true.
Well, look at the flip side now. Look what's happened as home ownership has fallen. Look at the rental market. More and more of our population are forced to rent, so the vulture funds are flooding into Ireland. So it's plenty of money still at the top of society. So it's just moving the deck chairs and the Titanic, essentially. That's all it's all about. It's all optics, essentially.
Buzzword. That's all you hear from you. I was just about to say to you earlier on, before I got interrupted by you, which was that banks are a business and are a charity. And if they were ran as a charity, they would be out of business in the morning and nobody could get a bloody mortgage under your system. Allow me to finish, Peter. You are so damn transparent that everything is the bank's problem, everything is the government's problem, and there's no personal responsibility whatsoever. Because you haven't once spoke about the individuals involved rather than the banks and the government.
I actually countered your argument about the refuse and versus the campaign.
One trick pony, that's what you heard.
I said, of course, there is a small percentage of people as well in society that just, there is a small cohort. Obviously there is. Like, there has to be a moral responsibility for people as well, without. But I'm looking at the overall picture, and you can't discount the overall picture and the facts there. And the problem is when you come on, it's just to try and wind up people and try and throw some narrative in.
Peter,
to be fair to Steve on this occasion, you know, the opinion... No, hang on, Peter. To be fair on this occasion, the opinion that Steve holds is an opinion held by 50% of people, that if you don't pay a bill, well, then you don't get the service. That's just the way it is, isn't it? That's an opinion held by a lot of people. Now, we understand with housing it's a little bit different, and I get that. But, you know,
that's the point we're getting to. This is somebody's home. I'm not talking about going out and having the discretionary income or conspicuous consumption and buying a top-of-the-range Jaguar or something.
Okay, we'll stay there for a second. Jaguar. Be the last car. But
it's a buy-to-let property or something.
John, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon. I suppose the word eviction, Niall, it has a very sour taste in Irish history, right? And in fairness to Peter there, Peter put himself up for election, unlike the other clown that you have in the line there taking pockets at him, right? He actually believes in democracy. The thing is, having been involved some years back there in protecting a home, not all the financial institutions will hold off. There was a guy, he got sick, and he had three small kids, wife, and basically this financial institution, he was only about 12 months. He wasn't getting better. He had cancer. He was trying to negotiate with him. And basically, he was offering so much again, just like what you said previously. And they weren't willing to accept this, and they said they were going to repossess the house.
Now, after 12 months?
There was about 40, 50 people, I said, protecting that house. And if you saw the amount of implements that were inside the
John, beach. can I just say something? I don't know the story you're talking about in particular, right? But it sounds to me like there's a bit more to that story than meets the eye. Because I don't know of a case where after 12 months, a bank will get a repossession order. That just isn't the case.
Well, this is a financial company, like, I mean, who are... I'm not going to mention their name now, but they're like, I mean, a lot of people would have been down the scumbags. Let's put it that way. That's the best way I could describe them. But, I mean, they didn't get the house anywhere. Like, they had to come to an agreement because the house is protected because World War III would have broke out. Even the guards, I mean, eventually wouldn't come near the place. Like, they were so frightened. So the thing is, it was sorted. And they agreed to take a certain amount, right? But it should be a last resort. Look, and where the family or whoever's involved are paying a certain amount. Like, if you decide not to engage at all, you should be kicked out in your hole. It's the same as paying rent. If I rent out my house in the morning, now I'm staying with a friend and I need extra income, right? And then the clown I put in here in my house now, right? If he decides, I couldn't be bothered with asking John O'Donovan anymore. Well, that's a different ball game then.
Well, sadly, that's happening all over the country. There are people in houses all over the country who are not paying their landlord their rent.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, sadly, because of the way the system operates, it's very difficult for landlords to get them out. And Steve, that's another situation that's happening around the country. Should those people be just kicked out of their homes if they can't afford their rent? Steve?
You have to do your numbers.
I know. Let him answer that question. Sorry.
Niall, of course, there is more affordable accommodation outside of the areas. They may have to go down the country and go away from the mother and the babysitters and all that type of stuff.
And your job and the schools.
There's always options. This is what I'm saying.
But I read in the email. In the email, it says, you know, that it's not fair that our kids. Where is it? We've got kids that are going to be torn from their schools,
life's not
their
fair,
friends,
Niall.
All
well,
that.
Niall, life is not fair.
You're going to lose all your infrastructure, then your family that help out probably with babysitting, your job,
and this
happens
to people and all the time. Let me just reiterate what I said from the start. You seem to have selective hearing like the rest of everybody today. I have already said that the banks are broken. The government is broken. There should be more help there for people. But at the end of the day, there's not. Where do we draw the line when people can't or won't pay their mortgage? Unfortunately, they have to be removed from the house.
Well,
there's a big difference between
can pay and won't pay.
To be fair, Steve mentioned this earlier on, and John, I kind of have to agree. The difference between can pay and won't pay is not an awful lot. To a bank, it's a business. It doesn't matter whether you can't or won't pay. To them, they're not getting their money.
At this stage, the government are on about housing.
You just ignored what I just said. You've completely ignored what I just said. You said there's a difference between can't and won't pay. There really isn't. Yeah. Morally, there might be a difference. But from a bank's point of view, from the contract of paying the mortgage, there's no difference. If you can't pay or won't pay, it's exactly the same thing. They're not getting the money.
But I mean, if you won't, can you just refuse him completely? Like,
What difference does it make if you can't or won't pay? It really doesn't make a difference. The bank are not getting their money. That's all they care about.
There is a big difference.
Do you know what fundamentally should really happen? I made a point earlier about the community-led banking and the banks, in terms of being, some banks being brought under public control as well. But what's important as well, it's the people. How do we get change? We get change from direct action. You get people from saying no together.
Not from
like
you.
Steve made a point about community. Or go and live somewhere else and go away from your family network and go down the country and get somewhere cheaper. And, you know, whatever.
Life's
not fair. Like, we all know life is tough. We all know life, you have to make hard choices. Absolutely, you live in the real world. But the biggest thing is that at the back of all this is community, because the system doesn't want community. You don't want people to come together. You don't want people to start talking to your neighbours and saying, I'm in the same boat as you. Yeah, I'm being screwed over by my landlord. I'm being screwed over by my bank. I'm being screwed over by the council. You know, stand up together with people in your community and say
no to it. Go ask the community to pay your fucking mortgage. They're not going to pay.
Direct action is what works.
Sorry, John. Go ahead. Go on quickly.
Yeah, look, I mean, we all saw there recently there with the whole asylum seeker thing, like, and places being refurbished and all. And certain individuals there with the banking crash and everything, they had debts written off. One guy, 40 million. And yet this guy is still getting a contract now, starting from scratch again, like, and getting huge money off of the state again.
No. Well, that whole separate topic, John, I completely agree with you. There was another story in the paper there during the week about another individual who's making millions, by the way, off the back of this whole iPass thing. An individual, by the way, who is in court against the state. But here, again, you are right, but that's a whole separate issue. Let's deal with one issue at a time. The issue is, here we have a family, John, who cannot pay their mortgage anymore. So at what point is it okay for a bank to turn around and say, I'm sorry, you can't live here anymore?
Yeah, but if we look after these loans,
we're going to turn
our back in the family. The simple way is, look, we're sick and tired of listening to different people in Fianna, the government talking about housing, right? What do you, the government, if you're paying 500 euro, the government make up the balance, right, and they take a share on that house. Yeah, kicking them out in the street is no good because the taxpayer is still going to have to find a place at exorbitant rent.
But doesn't make any difference. You just volunteered information. You said the taxpayer shouldn't have to be paying it, obviously, right? But you're saying the government should help pay them out, because that is the taxpayer.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, people would have no problem with that, because it could be you, it could be me tomorrow, it could be anyone.
Why not, John? Then you go pay their mortgage. You go pay their mortgage. Because Peter's talking about community there. Peter, you go ask the community to help out other people with their mortgages.
But you know, we're already contributing.
The community,
are just as selfish as the government.
Three people talking together at the same time. I can't hear anybody. Sorry, Steve, finish what you're saying. I'll let the other two respond. Go ahead.
Thanks. So
the
community are just as selfish as the government. You go ask the community for help, and you're kumbaya society.
See how far you get. Sorry, say that again.
See how far you get. What an asshole of a statement to make.
Well, you know something? You're definitely talking through your hole, because I can smell you through the phone.
John, you pay their mortgage. Go for it. You pay their mortgage. You're so charitable. Go for it.
Okay.
I'm sure that Niall can sort it out with their address and help them out there, my man.
Yeah, I'd say to their IBAN and IBIC number. Let me go to Connie. Connie, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, Connie. Connie, do people, I mean, I suppose the question we've asked at the very start of the show, are evictions necessary ever?
No.
No, not at all.
Never.
Ever. Ever.
No, because there's a two-tier society there now anyway, and I speak from experience myself. But, you know, like, the only way I know that you'll be able to get a good house and maybe that you wouldn't be in trouble is if you speak a different, with a different accent, and you're bringing, there's no houses available anywhere to rent or anything else with all these other people coming in. And the thing is, there will be eventually, you know, Niall, you know that's coming, there's going to be a crash.
The crash is going to happen soon.
There is a drop in prices anyway. When I was married, we were with a vulture fund, and as long as you make an attempt to pay something, I know that's my first-hand experience. As long as you attempt to pay what you can, when we were going through the separation, we were paying. Because, well, to be honest, I didn't really care. Apart, I guess I wasn't going to get the house. I lost the house, but because he wanted more than me. But I'm just saying, if you make an attempt to pay whatever it is, because it's extortion what they're doing. They're vulture funds in themselves, and that's all. They're creaming it, and eventually, the whole thing is going to crash, and there'll be houses up for a lot less, and that's why you can buy the cheap houses, because they're up beyond.
They predict the market may collapse by the end of next year. Okay, because it can't keep going up all the time.
Next year is going to happen. I'll mark my words. I know it will.
Yeah, and the houses will come down to half the price they are, but then they'll start going back up again, and by 2030 they'll be back up to the same price again.
Genuine people that are trying their best and they can't make it ends meet, they shouldn't have to pay.
Okay, but Connie, just getting back to the original point, so. Is in this case where the family can only pay 500 quid, the bank wants minimum 1,100 interest only. At what point do the bank go step in there and go, sorry, you have to get out?
If you only pay that much, you'll be okay. You'll get away with it, because I know. I know people that did that. I know people that are still doing that because they can't afford it.
Yeah.
They're saying, you know, they're not going to different countries.
That's not answering the question, though.
They're not going to a different country now. They're saying, I'm a migrant. Oh, I can't. I need to come in here.
No, I know they're being invited.
Yeah,
they've been invited in by that Rodrigo government, but I'm just saying, first of all, the crisis that is created by that whole...
Buzzword. They're doing the same as Peter Dooley. Answer the question.
Say that again?
She did answer the question. She said, no, she said, you won't be put out. She said, don't worry. But
No, she said they won't be you, but you asked, when do you think they should be, Niall?
But she said, at the very start, nobody should ever be evicted, ever.
Well, I would say to people, no, if they're in that situation right now, hang in there, pay what you can, keep paying every month, because eventually it's going to crash. And all that extortionist interest
when
they're taking.
When should people be evicted? When should? I'll ask the question. When should people be evicted from their houses?
Well, if they're squatting and if they're not paying anything, yes, and if they're taking the piss, that's a different story. Completely. A family trying to raise their children and they're struggling and they're genuinely trying their best and most people will pay as much as they can. And you can make agreements with these vulture funds because I've done it in the past and I know a few people that are doing that right now. And if you're doing that and you're honest about it, but now if people are taking the piss and they're squatting or something and they're wrecking the house, then you kick them out.
Well, then they're illegally in the house in the first place. Yeah, I know. There's no such thing as squatters' rights in Ireland.
Yeah,
I don't think.
And if they're wrecking the place, it's at their own house and there's no respect. That's a different story.
Yeah, that's a different story. No, the point Steve is asking, let's just deal with what we're talking about here, Connie. The families that are, you know, signed up to a mortgage with a bank in Ireland, be it AIB, Bank of Ireland, Permanent TSB, whoever it happens to be, and they're paying a mortgage and all of a sudden their circumstances change. They can't pay the mortgage anymore.
Exactly. They might lose their job or something, you know.
Okay, yeah. But they can't pay the mortgage and there is no sign that they will be able to pay the mortgage. Should the bank be allowed to repossess the house?
But I've made an agreement in the past. It's about 10 years ago. If you make an agreement and if you are making an effort, they cannot really kick you out.
I'm not talking about making an effort. What I'm saying is, if it's got to a point where it's unsustainable and you just cannot afford the interest-only payment, is there a point where the bank should actually go in and repossess the house?
There should be some kind of a thing put into the law that because then banks are creaming it at the top and it's not making a difference to them.
But there should be
in a point where that it's put in the law in this country that you can't just kick a family out on the street because they're going to be more homeless. The numbers are rising all the time.
Hold on a second, Connie. If you start bringing in laws that you can't kick them out, are you so stupid to not realise that would kill the banks? There's no big banks that would give out mortgages anymore.
They're vulture funds, that's what they are. And I won't be worried about them.
Yeah, but Connie, he does make a fair point, and maybe Peter can respond to that too. If you brought in a law tomorrow to say a bank cannot kick a family out on the out on the street, the banks would never loan money again. Peter, they'd never loan. They wouldn't be able to. Sure, how could you loan money on the proviso that you're never, even if people don't pay it back, you're never allowed to take the house back? Hang on, one at a time. Sorry.
No.
Peter, go ahead, Peter.
Like everything else, they have to be limited by what's important in society. Like, as I said to you earlier, Noel, if the bank is loaning out money for somebody buying a Ferrari or something or whatever, like, that's a different kind of thing. That's conspicuous consumption. The point is, when it comes...
Hang on,
I'm going to keep saying...
What did you mean?
Sorry, no.
What did you mean, Connie?
I'm tired of talking over everybody every day. Anyway, what I meant was, if they're making a genuine effort to pay what they can, then there should be a law against kicking them out, because they're still kicking them out now.
Yeah, but unfortunately, they're not making a, inverted commas, genuine effort, as far as the bank is concerned, because to the bank, a genuine effort is to pay the interest on the mortgage, just the interest, but they're not doing that.
Okay, well, I don't know then. Well,
they don't have enough money. They don't have enough money to do that.
Well, yeah, that's genuine, then those banks are not going to, go under. Well, they will go under, actually. I hope they do, because I really do.
Connie, in fairness, if all the banks went under tomorrow, you know, the economy would probably collapse.
I know that, but it's going to collapse anyway.
So let's give it a
hand.
Go ahead. Sorry,
can you ask Peter that question again? Because I'd love an answer to that. If we did bring in legislation to protect families, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, okay. But Peter, you know, judging by this conversation and everybody's attitude that people should never really have their houses possessed, if we get into a culture, which we already kind of are in, to be honest with you, where houses are just not repossessed unless you're at doomsday situations... Well, that's not good for banking either, is it? Because it scares banks from actually loaning money to people in the first place.
Well, why don't banks start doing something that's productive? Why don't they start loaning to businesses and actually create employment for people in the area?
Well, they do.
And give them proper long-term jobs for people.
Hang on. Rather than... Peter, that's a silly statement. You know that's a silly statement. Banks do loan to businesses.
Far from it. That's the way a lot of banks did operate. Like, when they operate with giving loans to small businesses, people go in... But they do.
Banks do loan to small businesses.
...off the street and met their bank manager. And then they know them in the community. People would know them. Now you don't. Now you talk to a keyboard. You don't even
well, I agree with that aspect
bank.
Of it, Joe. I do agree
you
with
know,
that.
You know, you go online, they want people to go online nowadays.
I had to.
You don't see
like,
anybody.
Even, no yeah, I, no. I understand the point you're making in relation to the non-personal aspect of it, because I had to set up a separate bank account when I was running for election, obviously, because obviously the money has to go through SIPO and all that kind of stuff. And to set up a bank account in this country now is it's a nightmare, because you don't get to speak to anybody anymore. You know what I mean? It's just really difficult. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, but I think the important thing, the facet of this, is to step in. When something like somebody's home at the back of it, Niall, it's not as if you're going on a luxury holiday or spending money off on something wild and conspicuous. Most people are you know, that's their home. They're going to stay in for life. They want security for their family and so forth.
Well, that's what we all want. My mother used to say, your wants are many, your needs are few. That's what everybody wants. You know what I mean? Or your needs are many, your wants are few. Everybody wants to stay in their home forever, but sometimes, you know, circumstances dictate that.
But that harks back to the point. Like, what's the basic needs of anybody?
I neither agree with you nor Steve today, to be honest with you. And I don't think
you need 6 foreign holidays a year, do you? Don't need 6 foreign holidays. Like, nobody can afford it. Anyway.
Your kill my ass system will never work, and it will destroy banking.
Far from it, Steve. It's this sort of narrative.
Your
lazy
system hasn't been tried and tested.
The bottom line is that. Look at it logically, right? If somebody is repossessed home, a bank swoops in, evicts the family. The state then picks up the tab in terms of support, providing supported accommodation for that family. And who did he look to? He looked to a big private landlord, probably an ex-council house that was sold off or using to provide an accommodation for them. And what happens? More public money is taken out of all of our taxes, VAT and income tax and so forth, and it's transferred into their hands to make more profit.
And
what do they produce? But effectively, what do they produce?
You know nothing, my man. Your head is up your arse. Niall,
get Carl Dieter on.
Oh, no, well, actually, Carl and Peter have been on the show together before. And yeah, you're right. And you're right. They don't agree with each other.
You've lost the argument. You know, when you come back to insults, you
I think that was the last time Peter was on the show when somebody said he was a commie. Let me go to Lorraine. Lorraine, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Welcome to the madness. Lorraine, you heard the original email, right? Les, can we just focus on the original email? At what point should a bank move in that situation and take the house?
If they're willing to pay, like, as you're saying, 500 quid is better than nothing and having a house standing there with nobody in it.
But the bank repossesses it, they can sell it and get their money back.
Well, if the bank has somebody lined up to pick it up, the mortgage, and sell it, well, unfortunately for that family, sell it.
There's no problem selling houses nowadays. It's a buyer's market. I mean, you could sell a house in a week.
But how much do the banks have to, like, I'm not agreeing with, and I never thought I would say these words in my whole entire life on this podcast, but at some points I agree with Steve.
Oh, God.
Yeah, see? The earth is turning on itself. Well, I do get his point. Like, if we went down the kumbaya route of leaving everybody in their houses and not...
But that's not
anybody.
The point I'm making, just with due respect. That's not the point I'm making. Like, you're missing the complete point.
Peter, shut up and let her finish her talk.
Can I finish what I was going to say? If you leave everybody in their houses and the banks don't get paid, the whole economy is going to collapse and we're going to end up back in the start. Like, we're going to end up back in the 80s and not like where it all went tits up. So what do you want? A kumbaya for everybody to have their own houses, or for the economy and for the rest of us, like that, have a head? Like, you know what I mean? Where do you say enough's enough? Where do you say that's it?
Niall, the whole people have been propagandized by the frenzy of the property market, the financialization of houses.
I understand houses are extortionate prices at this very moment in time, and the market dictates that. But in saying that, Peter, a house does cost
property prices.
I get that. But a house does cost physical money to build. The land costs money that it's sitting on. So it's not fake. You know what I mean? That there is real value in it.
Well, of course, there's a value. There's a social value to it as well, and there's obviously a physical value in terms of the physical.
Can I just ask you a question? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask Peter a question? Peter, if a family is living in a house, say, and they're there, say, 3 or 4 years and haven't paid a penny, Right, have not paid a penny to that house, and the bank has left it in there with this big extortionate thing, old money on it. When do you say to the family, sorry, you've paid nothing? If I was renting a private house, if I rented a private house, I'd be evicted by the landlord.
The point is, if you're refusing to pay versus can pay, if people are engaging and explaining
this is really starting to annoy me now. And I'm going to say it to you once again, Peter. It's irrelevant to the bank whether you're refusing or can't.
Exactly.
Bottom line, no, hang on. And it has to be irrelevant. They're a business. They're not getting the money. So it doesn't matter whether you're refusing or strategically hiding money in somebody else's account. You don't have any money in your own account. Or indeed, you just literally cannot afford it anymore.
But it's
irrelevant. Completely irrelevant to the bank.
If I was privately renting, I would be put out on my ear for not paying rent. I would be evicted, handed evicted notice, and I'd be put out on my ear if I was private renting.
Okay, let Peter finish the point he was making.
So she asked
you a question, and the question she asked you was, Peter, if somebody is not paying a penny or, you know, a pittance right towards the mortgage, it's just unsustainable, at what point do the bank come in and say, we want the house back?
The point is, there's processes where they can engage. As I said to you earlier,
you're pussy footing around it. He asked you out with great questions. When's enough?
Somebody is refusing to pay, and they're refusing to pay for a significant period of time. Obviously, there has to be a moral responsibility on the person. Like if somebody's not paying because even though they have the resources and have the funds to do it, well then. Obviously, that has to be looked at with their financial records, but they engage in that process at an early stage with the banks if they're not willing to, if they can't afford to pay the mortgage. So this issue should be resolved. It's about regulation it's proper regulation.
Let me ask you a question, Lorraine. Go back to the email, right? They can only afford 500 quid. It's nowhere near what the bank requires for them to stay in the house, which is 1,100, which is interest only. And reduce payments with the bank will do normally for 2 or 3 years for people to try and get them a handout. At what point does the bank come in and take the house?
They're willing. My point of this is they're willing to pay. They're not sitting there and they're not hiding from the bank and they're not hiding what they're earning and what they're actually on.
Yeah, but 500 doesn't cut the mustard, unfortunately, as far as the bank is concerned.
Well, then, unfortunately, if 500 quid isn't cutting the mustard, they're going to have to look at other ways or other means, or go to someone else for help. That's just life. If I was in that situation in a private rented house, I'd be handed an eviction notice.
Well, can you do me a favour?
It's incumbent on the state to step in, much the same as eviction notices. Most of the work I do is with private renters all the time, being evicted. Like last year, we had 19,000 eviction notices were served on people. Look at the homeless figures, through the roof in Ireland.
28 houses repossessed in 2023. 28 houses.
In fairness, Peter, we're talking about evictions here from houses, private purchase houses, right? And Steve is right. There was only 28 evictions in 2023.
For the housing market, it's a complete... it's absolutely just gone out of control. If people don't realise that, and who's making money from it? Like, people have to start...
Well, no, the banks are making money. We're well aware of that. Sorry, Steve, go ahead.
Can you do me a favour? Can you get on when... I know Carl Dieter's in Florida at the moment. I heard you talking to him yesterday. When Carl gets home, do me a massive favour. Have an episode where you bring him and Kamala Harris there on Zoom.
I'll take that back there now, Steve.
Right, and let them have it out.
I don't support the Democrats or the Republicans.
you would be destroyed by an economist.
I had a good discussion with him before as well.
Yeah, we did have both of them on before, actually, Steve. We had both of them.
Yeah, bring them on, because I guarantee you...
My background is in business, Steve, by the way, so I won't start quoting that back
with
you.
No, it's not. Yeah, no wonder you went into politics.
So, stay there for a second. Let me go to Norman as well. Norman, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall, how are things?
Good. Norman, okay, can we all just stick to the question? In this particular scenario, is repossession a necessary evil?
No. It shouldn't happen at all.
Ever.
Well, in a few instances that it does, is necessary. It's just a small percentage. It's you're wasting time and effort and energy concentrating on the 0.5% or 1% where it is necessary. Yeah.
Right.
That's unfortunately what happens here a lot. It's a bit like the cars checking the for insurance and whatever tax on the cars instead of actually doing their job, you know?
Well, that is part of the job, isn't it, to check the tax insurance on a car?
Who cares? I mean, look, put it
who
on
cares?
The, well, it's a very simple, very, 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 very simple solution. You put the money on the liter of fuel. So the more you drive,
okay.
The more you pay.
Okay, yeah, well, separate situation. You can't do that, obviously, with a house. So if somebody is not paying their mortgage, they've signed a document when they took out the mortgage to pay it back over 25 years, and they can't pay it anymore because their circumstances have changed and they have no money.
Yeah.
So what happens?
Right.
What happens?
I don't know. There's a fund set up, an insurance fund, or the government steps in, or the council steps in.
And pays
somebody
it.
Steps in.
So that's the taxpayer that pays it.
Or Apple can pay it, yeah.
Apple can pay it. Oh,
Apple, IBM, they can pay it. Yeah. Yeah.
Why would a private company pay somebody else's mortgage? Why? Explain that. Explain the logic of the communist socialism logic of that, please.
Yeah, I can indeed. Yeah, you have a company like IBM or Apple living here for free.
They're not living here for free. Okay, but let's just say word salad there because that's all this is. They're actually paying taxes. They employ a lot of people who pay PRS, IPAY. They probably should be paying more taxes. There's no doubt about that. But they're not
like
here for
14 billion.
Yeah, but they're not here for free. Norman, yeah, the 14 billion wasn't Ireland's money, by the way. You do know that, don't you? By the way, it was never Ireland's money. The 14 billion wasn't our money. There's a bit of a myth around the 14 billion, by the way. It's not ours.
It wasn't Apple's money anyway.
Well, it was Apple's money, but it was meant to be paid as tax, okay? Because they had a reduced corporate tax rate in Ireland for all of the revenue through all of the retailers across Europe. So now what will happen with that 14 billion is it's sitting in an escrow account, right? And what will happen now is that Germany have already put a claim in, as far as I know. Other countries will put a claim in for some of that money. For the tax and some of that money, because a lot of the money was used in their countries too, so we won't get all of the 14 billion. It's a bit of a myth.
That's not the point. The point is, Apple could pay a lot more. They're using our infrastructure, our housing, our roads, our education. Who's paying for the education then?
So Apple should buy everybody a bleeding house. Are you mental?
Apple should build houses.
Apple
for
should
their employees.
For fuck's sake!
And charge them nothing. Yeah, and
Peter, you have a friend
Peter,
here.
You love Norman, Peter. He's just right up your street there. Apple should pay for everything.
Hang on a second. Yeah, well, Ireland is a tax haven. Norman's right there.
Ireland was a tax haven for a reason at the time. Of course, we were trying to encourage foreign investment. Now, obviously, we can't do that. We can't do that anymore. The EU has now made sure that we can't give those cheap discounted rates anymore. So now everybody's paying the same rates.
I'll throw another fact at Steve there now. He might look it up later on as well. Our effective rate of taxation for corporations is about 5.5% to 6%, even though the headline rate is supposed to be going to 15%. So if they paid their fair share of taxes, these corporations, maybe would have better...
But you know as well as I do that 5% of the people in this country pay 95% of the tax. Most of the tax in this country is paid by foreign investment and large corporations. You know that, Peter. So if they weren't in this country, if we discourage them in any way to leave this country, we're doomed. Doomed.
Hang on.
I need to go back to Norman again because he's not actually addressing the question. Sorry, Norman, I need to address the question. Just in relation to this house, so a bank loaned them the money. That's a contract in any man's terms.
Yeah, yeah.
They're now not paying us.
The same bank that we bailed out. Was that the one, yeah?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so they were handy enough there putting their hands out when they screwed up themselves because of their greed. Yeah? They put their hand out and we bailed them out, even though it wasn't their debt. So what about that? How come we can give them... All the understanding and empathy, and we can't give a person who's trying to house a family.
Can I answer that, please?
Yeah, hang on, Norman. Steve, it's a fair question. We bail them out, so why don't they bail us out?
Right, fantastic. If we didn't bail them out, we wouldn't have a banking system, and it would have fucked us over too.
That's,
you realise all the money that you had in your account would have even disappeared. How was the nonsense?
That's nonsense.
How was the nonsense?
It's nonsense.
How?
Well, it didn't happen in other countries. It didn't happen in Denmark. until that banks go to the wall. Yeah? Yeah, and we cannot set up a state bank.
It was
bank.
Only a matter of time
bank.
Before you mentioned bleeding
so
Denmark. 60, what are
no,
you doing
on
Northern
hold on, hold on, hold on. If we can give 60 billion to banks, why can't we put it into a bank, state bank, and use it properly?
Dude, if we did not
yeah,
bail out, the Irish banking
answer,
system...
Answer. Answer that question. How can we give 60 billion to banks here and we cannot help people who are being thrown out of
dude,
their houses?
Dude,
and where
how can we not...
Okay, wait, hang on, let him answer. You've asked him a question. Let him answer, Norman.
Okay, so, it's Norman, if you heard me at the start of the show, I said the banking system's fucked, the government is screwed, we're doing everything wrong, I understand that, but again, we asked the question, you know, when should a bank be able to repossess a house? And that's the whole point of this. But you're coming in with your socialist nonsense of having Apple Pay for everything. And let me just point out that our banking system would have collapsed if we did not bail them out, and you would have been screwed personally.
I don't think you have the right recollection. I think the majority of people were screwed in Ireland and people lost their lives because of austerity. That's fact, Steve.
Jesus,
but there you go,
Christ
Steve.
Almighty, kill
so the bankers,
my arm,
so,
my Lord.
Steve, you're a socialist. Socialist for the wealthy. It's socialism for the rich. And then they socialise the losses. They socialise the losses. Everybody do more for people than you'll ever do.
Okay, well, listen, I'm running out of time rapidly. Norman, thank you very much. I'm sorry your line was so bad there. I do apologise. But Norman kind of went down the road of Apple there. Let me go to Bernie. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand, Noel. How are you today, Niall?
I'm good. Bernie, okay, let's get back to the original question. Are evictions a necessary evil?
Okay, so how long did they stop paying their mortgage for? And what's the reason behind it?
Because their circumstances have changed. The husband lost his business a few years ago and they can't afford it. They've been engaging with the bank. It's got to the point now where the bank said, look, we'll accept 1,100 interest only because the mortgage is 2,600. And they're going, no, we don't have that. So we're only paying 500 currently at the moment. The bank have now started proceedings, legal proceedings, to the courts to remove them from the home.
Okay, so first and foremost, I'm sorry that they lost the job. That's terrible. However, I've lost jobs and had a mortgage and I had to find a job somewhere else because the one thing I want to do is keep the roof over my children's and family's head. And if they can only pay 500 currently at the month, it mightn't last for a long time. The bank should accept that and extend the length of their time of mortgage.
I'm sure they've looked at all that. The bank will happily extend the length of time of your mortgage or recapitalise, as the case may be, but they will only do that provided you can still pay the interest. So that's the minimum normally a bank will require you to pay, which is the interest. The interest on this particular mortgage, because it's clearly a big mortgage, is 1,100 quid a month.
Can they not sell the house and downsize?
Well, you'd imagine. Well, that's kind of hard to do nowadays, Bernie, isn't it? Because I'm assuming it's in Dublin. You won't get a house in Dublin now for less than 450,000.
Well, you have to cut your cloth. If you've lost your job, honestly, you have to move. Like, I lost one of my jobs and I had to move from Dublin down the country because I couldn't afford the mortgage. And I just sold the house at the same price I paid for it. And I cut my cloth and I moved on, even though I had my kids in school. I had no choice.
But here's the problem with this rabbit hole. They're already in debt, so they have no credit rating, obviously, at this stage, because they're already in debt. I am assuming there is no equity in the house at this moment in time. Otherwise, they'd mention that. And, you know, if they moved out and said to the bank, okay, take the house back, that's grand, sell the house, whatever, you know, there's no profit in it, you know, they're not going to get a mortgage again for the next 5 years because they're already a bad credit rating. So they're really doomed. They're in a difficult situation.
Well, can they not get one of the modular houses? Can the government or the council not step in?
Give them a modular house. Okay, so whose responsibility is it to find somewhere for them to live? Should the bank just leave them there?
No, I think that they should come back to... I mean, the last thing you want to do is evict a family. There should be another way around this. Like, I'm trying to go around the rabbit hole in this modern day. Back in the 80s, when you had a house, if you didn't pay your mortgage, you were kicked out. End of. There was no evict. There was nothing to...
No, that was the end of it, yeah.
Evicted.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got kicked out or you took the balls and you moved yourself somewhere else. And in today's climate, with all that has happened with the banking system over the last 20 or 30 years, surely to God there must be a way around this. Is there some way of helping this family rather than throw them out onto the street?
Mm.
You know, there has to be some... The government, I'm not asking for that Apple money, you won't see any of that.
Yeah.
I think that there must be a fund somewhere where they're able to give 56 million, say, to the Ukrainian war, and they not help their local population who find themselves in situations like that, give them an interim loan until they get back on their feet, and then...
Yeah,
you know,
that's a fair point. Forget about Norman's Apple money for the moment. But Steve, you know, our government are handing out, you know, aid all over the world to, you know, the African continent and Ukraine, and millions, billions actually going out of this country.
Yep.
Bernie's saying, why can't the government just set up a fund for distress mortgages for people who are in that situation?
Niall, that is a fantastic idea. And if the government want to do that and do that, that would be amazing. But again, still not, the banks don't care, just as long as they get their money. As long as it's coming from somebody. You know, the question today has nothing to do with what the government should do or where the system is broken. It's at what point is it okay to repossess a house, a necessary evil. And it is a necessary evil. Unfortunately, if you can't pay or won't pay, you must be removed from that property. It's very simple. Yes, our government should do much, much more for us. We're a very wealthy country, and the government should step in for people in distress in their mortgage.
Although
I would completely agree with
I'm like a Norman's idea. Apple should just pay for everything, in fairness.
Norman's fucking cheese lit off his cracker.
I listen.
Can I just highlight as a woman today with you guys? There is a shortage of HRT. I'm putting it out there. And by the end of the year, I was in the pharmacy a few minutes ago, and he said that they don't know where they're going to get the next supply. They're already running low. I'm just letting you guys know, so if I don't have my HRT, you're fucked the whole lot of you.
So you'll be on the air like a mad woman, like a woman possessed.
I will. I'll be sucking some HRT patches somewhere.
Yeah, but I know. But that happened about 2 or 3 years ago as well. Do you remember there was a shortage of it about 2 or 3 years ago, and then it was all right again, you know?
The bet you they won't run out of testosterone tablets, but they'll run out of women's HRT.
Yeah.
Cheek them.
Okay. Listen, Bernie, I'm glad you informed us about that. Maybe we could do a whole show on it and have a load of angry menopause and women on talking about it. Thank you very much indeed.
Please do.
There's Bernie's warning. They're running out of HRT. Peter, listen, thank you very much indeed. I don't know whether you had your HRT today.
We've been charged of a lot of things in Ireland now, but I think we've too many bankers. My view, anyway.
Yeah. Steve, listen, thanks very much indeed, and I appreciate all you coming on the air. Lots and lots of messages, by the way. Let me just read out some of these messages here, and I'll open my WhatsApps as well there. But there's a few people sent in some WhatsApp messages there as well. I'll play some of those in a second. If they can't pay, the bank should take it away, says SJ on X. Now, I'll ask Peter, what about the Vulture Funds leaving in England who... blanks selling the mortgage off too cheap. They don't even pay any tax. Dave Ahern says, it should be very difficult to evict someone from their home once they're engaging with the bank to try and find the best way to repay. They should be left in the home, says David. But I suppose, David, the question Steve is asking is, at what point do they get kicked out? Stephen on Facebook says, the people bail out the banks, but the banks never bail out the people. Yeah, that's a good point. Lorenzo says, it's an easy question. Unfortunately, when you sign a contract, you must take into consideration what can happen. If it wasn't a mortgage but a rent, would it be okay for the landlord to evict them? Should the banks be taxed on for extra profit? Yes. Should personal interest grow at the same level of the mortgages? One, yes. It's in the bank's right to do it. Once you sign the contract, you accept the conditions, says Lorenzo. Yeah, they are the conditions. Yeah, but I understand, Lorenzo, but the only thing I did say at the very start, it's very difficult for somebody to predict what's going to happen in 25 years' time. Now, some of your messages, by the way, coming in on WhatsApp, let me just play one or two of these here.
Afternoon, Niall. Hey, Niall, there goes Steve again. What, never done a good thing in his life. He freely admits that. He's given a house or given money to buy a house. He doesn't have to worry about a mortgage. Now he's on saying, throw them all out, the whole family. Very easy for him to say. Never had to do anything in his life. And just gets it all handed to him. Ah, good topic, though, Noel. Good.
How you doing? Just listening to the show there. There's some points on both sides that are correct. And somewhere along in the middle of all this is the truth. Nobody has come close to the topic of why on earth, how on earth, can somebody be paying €1,100 interest only a month? Where has that figure been gotten from? I don't agree with the government stepping in the middle of everything and helping and helping and helping, because that's a form of communism and in the end socialism. But there should be safeguards put in place that the interest is cut away. Don't mind the interest. Let them pay €1,100 a month off of their debt and cut the interest for 3 or 4 years, and I guarantee they'll be out of trouble.
Hi, Niall. Can't come on. I do think banks should definitely be able to evict people, because if banks don't have that power to do that, then what? There's no consequence for people. People would just stop paying, and they'd be like, "Ah, there's nothing they're going to do. They're not going to kick us out." It's very unfortunate when people get into them situations, and you do feel bad, but you're always going to have them people that will take advantage of a situation. And if the banks don't have the power to evict, it's going to be a catastrophe with the financials, you know. But yeah, and you know what? I do think sometimes people kind of bite more than they can chew. They want the bigger house. Maybe start off a little bit smaller, and then start with the small house, and then make your way to the bigger house and stuff, you know. But yeah, love the show. Bye.
And Michael is right. Michael lives in New York, by the way. You tried to pull that one off in New York where you don't pay your mortgage, and I guarantee you the house will be foreclosed in 2 months. The Bank of America don't take any shite. They wouldn't be leaving you there for 4 and 5 years, because that is the fact in this country, by the way. Genuinely, it's 4 or 5 years before you will be kicked out of the house, at least. And Steve is right. There were only 28 evictions last year for private houses, as far as I know, because it's really difficult for the banks to kick people out. Because when they go into court, the judges are looking at them like, you're the big bank, this is the poor person. Give them more time, give them more time, give them more time. And that's what just keeps happening. And it costs the banks a lot of money to do that. And they kind of don't really want to be doing it because it just costs too much money. But Michael makes a really good point. If they don't evict people, if people never get evicted, well, then sure, everybody would just turn around and stop paying their mortgage tomorrow. What's the point? They're never going to throw me out of it, so I might as well stop paying it. And that's what people would do that. Some people would. Anyway, listen, thank you very much indeed. Don't forget, please do support the show. We're halfway through the month, and we got our bills to pay at the end of this month. So last month we were very short, extremely short. It makes it very difficult for us to continue to do the podcast when we can't afford to pay the bills. It's really, really hard. So we rely just on your subscriptions. We don't have advertising. We are tempted now to start looking out for people to sponsor the show or advertise, which is something we didn't want to do, because we don't want to be at the behest of a sponsor, having a sponsor's name above my head, dictating what we can and can't talk about the show and constantly saying to us, oh, we'd rather you didn't talk about this because while we're sponsoring it and all this kind of shite. So we wanted to avoid that. We've avoided it for 2 years because it's 2 years in March. So the only way we can avoid that is if you donate every now and again, just a fiver, a tenner, whatever, I don't know, 5 million if you're a wealthy company listening, by the way, and you want to support us to continue to give people a platform every single day for honesty, a platform for openness, an uncensored platform. If we're talking about the government, we're talking about hate speech laws, we're talking about referendums, or we're talking about banking, or whatever it is we're talking about, we want to give you that platform. And it's a platform that you will not get on radio in this country. We are providing a really good service, but we don't get paid. So we rely on you being generous. So please do subscribe to our website, nileboylan.com. There you can see all the previous episodes. By the way, congratulations to us. Today is the 300th podcast. So it's the 300th podcast today. We do 4 a week, and we do many other interviews as well, which we don't put out live. Some of those interviews you can go and watch on our website if you're subscribing. So it's the price of a pint of beer or a cup of coffee for the three of us once a month. That's all it is, $5.99. Or if you want to just give us a one-off donation, you don't want to commit yourself, you can give a one-off donation on the website, on the donate section. It can be a fiver, it can be 5 million. So please do it, and please help us out. Thank you very much indeed. I shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.